Welcome back to our series. You know, we're calling it Fear Not. We're talking about how to manage fear through faith. And today I want to talk with you about the fear of rejection. We all want to be accepted, be appreciated for our talents, respected for our contributions, and loved by others. But rejection is a part of every person's life. A relationship ends. You didn't choose it. You lose your job, get laid off, fired. Someone doesn't like you because you're different from them, and they leave you out of their friend group. Rejection cuts like a knife. It can damage our spirits, undermine our sense of value, sense of self-worth. It can shake our confidence. We feel unloved, and we start questioning our own value. Most people do almost anything to avoid rejection. A young person starts running with the wrong crowd to feel accepted. A coworker joins in the workplace gossip to fit in. You might hold back on something you want to say, or the truth as you see it, or what you believe, because you do not want to be left out. We all go along to get along because we want to be included. We don't want to be rejected. But here's the key to dealing with rejection, especially when it's unfair. Ignore it. As we say in the South, pay it no never mind at all. Pay it no never mind at all. Reject that rejection. Don't give it the time of day. Let those voices go in one ear and out the other. They might as well be speaking to the wall. Don't let other people define who you are or control you with the threat of rejection. It will only keep you from the destiny God has in store for you. There was a young man in the scripture named Jephthah. He was the son of a mighty warrior, Gilead, in the days before God had appointed the first king of Israel. But Jephthah's brothers rejected him, because his mother was not the wife of Gilead. Jephthah was the son of another woman. His brothers teased him and mocked him and told him he wasn't really part of the family and that he wouldn't get a share of the inheritance. Jephthah felt rejected, unwanted, alone. He ran away to a foreign land and learned how to survive on his own without his family. Every day he grew stronger and stronger. Jephthah could have stayed at home, just kind of put up with the rejection and the abuse, always feeling like the black sheep of the family, getting sour over what his brothers said. But instead, Jephthah would not allow that rejection to control him. He let it mold him into the mighty warrior and the strong man of God that he became. One day, after a while, a foreign nation threatened war against his people back home. Out of desperation, the elders of his tribe came to Jephthah and begged him to come home and serve as the commander of the military. Jephthah said, "Didn't you hate me? Drive me out of my father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble?" They promised him, though, if he came home and fought, that they would make him the ruler over all the people. So Jephthah returned to his native land. He fought the war, and he was victorious. This young boy, who was rejected, scorned, derided, belittled, mocked because of where he came from, something he couldn't help, his background, became the great hero over all the land. That's how God works. He takes that rejection and he turns it into something good. Now, Jephthah wasn't a perfect man. If you read the whole story, you'll see that he made some mistakes along the way, some serious sins. He mishandled some things, both leading up to the victory and after it. But Jephthah went on to become one of the 12 mighty judges recorded in the scriptures that God raised up to lead, defend, and protect his people in times of trouble. Like Jephthah, don't let unfair rejection control you, because it's not your problem, it's theirs. It's not about you, it's about them. In the gospel today, Jesus comes to his hometown where he grew up. He taught in the synagogue, but his own people did not accept him. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What wisdom, what kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands?" They took offense at him. They mocked him and rejected him. What's interesting is that they referred to Jesus as the Son of Mary, which today, for us, is a great honor, right? I mean, that's a wonderful thing, a great honor for Mary. But in those days, in that culture, you never referred to a man as the son of his mother. You always referred to him as the son of his father. So to call Jesus the Son of Mary was an insult. They were trying to insult him. Jesus could have reacted with anger, called down fire from heaven. He could have gotten sad in his, you know, human nature, left town feeling less than, put down, disregarded. He could have tried to win them over, explain, you know, why they should listen to him. But Jesus did none of that. Instead, he simply reacted with amazement. He was amazed at their lack of faith. He knew their rejection had nothing to do with him. It really was all about them. Something was wrong on the inside. They did not have enough faith to see who Jesus really was. Well, the passage goes on to say that other than healing a few people, he was not able to perform a mighty miracle, a great miracle in that town. It's not because his power was limited, it was because their faith was limited. There was something wrong in their hearts. When people reject you, put you down, insult you, exclude you, turn their backs on you, remember, it's not about you. Something is wrong in their hearts. And yes, we have to first make sure our behavior is not out of line. But so often, the rejection we face is undeserved because it's not really about us. So the next time you feel rejected, why don't you do what Jesus did? Don't get discouraged. Feel dejected. Put yourself down. Try to win them over. Convince them to get on your side. Instead, understand it's not about you. Having said that, though, sometimes God uses that unfair rejection to move you closer to the purpose that God has in store for you. For 20 years, I knew God was calling me to become his priest. For 20 years, those same 20 years, I did anything and everything but follow that call, trying to avoid it. I earned 3 graduate degrees, tried 3 different careers, nothing stuck. Nothing worked out. It just couldn't find my footing. Well, when I finally signed up for the seminary, I was surprised by the rejection of some of my closest friends. They didn't think that I could stick with anything for very long. "Oh, that's not going to work out for him. He's not going to make it," they would say. "It's just going to be one more thing he tries and gives up on. He'll be back home before you know it, with his tail between his legs." One friend even told me to my face that he was sure I was going to drop out after the first year of seminary. Now, they're still my friends because I am a very forgiving person. But also, looking back on it, I realized God was using that rejection, that second guessing, to make me stronger, more focused, to give me greater resolve, and to get me closer to the goal. Well, year after year ticked by in the seminary. Year after year ticked by. It was not easy. It was hard at some times. I love the seminary generally, but it's not an easy environment to be in. It took 5 long years for me to get through, and that was 2 years shorter than most people. I got time off for good behavior, I guess. But, you know, it was hard. But every time it got difficult, I remembered what my friends said, and it kept me grounded. I didn't want them to be right. It kept me grounded. And I got to tell you, Last month, I celebrated my 10th anniversary to the priesthood. I'm still here. I'm still standing. And after what it took God to get me here, I'm not going anywhere. Well, in the second reading today, Paul says he has a thorn in his side, something that kept bothering him, a problem that would not go away. Whatever it was, God would not take it away from him, would not remove that thorn. Instead, he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." And because of that, Paul was okay. He was fine with the insults, the persecutions, the oppression, the rejection that he faced proclaiming the gospel. As he said in the second reading, "When I am weak, then I am strong." There are times when God will close a door on something you want, close a door that you want to go through. It might be a high-paying career that you wanted to get into, a business you wanted to start, friends you wanted to have, a house you wanted to buy, children you wanted to enjoy, a marriage you wanted to last. When it doesn't work out, it feels like a crushing defeat, a terrible rejection, and a door being slammed in your face. And God will sometimes allow you to experience rejection. He will close the doors you want to go through to get you through the right door he wants you to go through to have the life that he wants you to have. And while you're going through that feeling of being rejected and the doors closed, it can feel like a thorn in your side. It can feel like you're weak. But know this, God is using that weakness, as Paul says, God is using that thorn in your side, that rejection, to strengthen you. And when the time is right, he will open that door, the right door for you to go through. When I was getting my PhD in religion before I became a priest, one of the three degrees I was like pursuing, and I wrote a 500-page dissertation. It was almost as long as one of my homilies. But, yeah. Anyway, my professor thought that it was worthy of publication. So he set me up. He connected me with a prestigious publisher. The editor called me and said, "Roger, this looks great. It looks like something we would like to publish. We'd be interested in publishing." Well, I was so excited. I thought my dreams were coming true. But then a few weeks later, that same editor called me back. He said, "Roger, I'm really sorry, but on second thought, I don't have time to work with a first-time author." Well, I was crushed. I felt so defeated. I felt so rejected that I never submitted the manuscript to another publisher. Had God not closed that door, though, today, I would probably be a professor teaching religion in a university. It's a good life, a good thing to do. It's actually what I wanted or thought I wanted at the time. But it wasn't my calling, my destiny. God closed that door to open the right door for me. He let me be rejected to move me forward into the priesthood. Leah was a woman in the gospel, in the scripture. She was the oldest daughter of a man named Laban. Scripture says that Leah was lovely, but her younger sister Rachel was even more beautiful. At one point, Laban's nephew Jacob came to live and work on the land. He immediately fell in love with Rachel. He asked for her hand in marriage. Laban said, "Well, that's fine. It's fine with me, but first you have to work 7 years to earn Rachel." Jacob said, "Okay, that's fine." And the time passed quickly because he loved Rachel so much. But when it came time for the wedding, Laban tricked Jacob into marrying Leah instead of Rachel. Well, when Jacob realized his mistake, he was furious. He cornered Laban and confronted him. He said, "Why did you do this? Why did you dupe me? How could you do this to me? It was for Rachel that I served you." Now, can you imagine how Leah felt? Rejected, unappreciated? Well, Laban and Jacob worked it out. They agreed that Jacob would work another 7 years for Laban to earn Rachel. And after that 7 years, Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. It was a different time, ladies. You were not treated fairly. We understand that. But that's the way it was, and that's what happened. God could see how unloved Leah felt. So he blessed her with many children while Rachel had trouble conceiving. At first, Leah thought this would be the way, this blessing would be the way to win Jacob over to her. So when she had her first child, she said, "Now my husband will love me." When the second child came, she held out the same hope. A third child came along, she said, "This time my husband will finally become attached to me." But eventually, Leah realized the score, that Jacob would never love her more than Rachel. So when she had her fourth child, Judah, she said something different. She said, "This time I will give grateful praise to the Lord." Leah figured out she did not really need Jacob's love and acceptance because she already had it from her heavenly father. She already had his love and acceptance. And he blessed her in a way that she could never have imagined. Her son, Judah, is for all time recorded in the Gospel of Luke as one of the ancestors of Jesus. This young woman who was overlooked, discarded, unloved, unappreciated, rejected, was given a legacy that led directly to Jesus Christ himself. That's the way our God is. He takes that rejection and changes it into something good. Here's the principle. When you feel rejected, displaced, sidelined, overlooked, warehoused, passed over, unloved, don't let that rejection control you or keep you from your destiny. Stop trying looking for acceptance from other people. Don't waste another moment trying to earn the approval of people who reject you unfairly, trying to please them, trying to win them over. You already have the approval of the Lord, the Most High God. He will always approve you. The door hurts when it closes, but God, in his time, is going to open the right door to a new life of favor, of grace, of increase, of blessings, of health and happiness and joy in your life. God is always for you. He will never be against you. He will never reject you. So fear not.